Hey, calm down. The show is about to start.
Reese on the radio.
Turn it up.
Turn it up loud.
Turn it up loud.
It's like a dream come true.
Turn on your radio. Reese is on the radio.
Yo, let's get it.
Due to the nature of this program, discretion does not exist.
It's Reese on the radio, right now, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yeah! And what's going on, all you scallywags, nutmeggers, all across the fruited plain? You know the drill. It's time for Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080. Now, it would be wrong of me not to show this man some love. And I know you all do. You're all thinking about him right now. It is this story that is completely clouding the airwaves no matter where you go. Let's show him some love. That man was a great American. I don't care how corny this song was. I got hype when he came out in the ring. Throwing his hand over his ear. Waving to the crowd. All of us in the stadium at Madison Square Garden or sitting at home. How did you not identify with this guy? Crazy part is that song means more today than it ever did when I was a kid. It means far more today. So I want to show my love for none other than Hulk Hogan. The guy who built the WWE or the WWF, whatever you want to call it, the guy built it. He built it on his back. He made yellow cool. Let's be honest. You can't help but remember your days. Whether you thought wrestling was fake, phony, most of the girls couldn't stand boys who were watching wrestling or outside in the backyard pretending to be Hulk Hogan. What you gonna do? But they all know who he is and they understand his impact. So I just want to make sure that I show my love for him, because as soon as I got the news, Roland was the one who actually texted to me and I went, damn. I mean, you know, I feel like I've been saying that all week. Malcolm Jamal Warner, damn. Ozzy Osbourne, damn, we just saw him. And now Hulk Hogan and none other than Chuck Mangione, who's getting a little bit of love. We need to show him a little bit of love today, too. I'm positive that guys like, at least Mark Christopher, there's no way in hell he's not thinking or saying to himself, wow, Chuck Mangione. I mean, I grew up on Chuck Mangione. Of course, it's probably like two or three songs, but I kind of feel like he was a part of my childhood, too. So I just want to show my love for Hulk Hogan. Everybody's in Thunder Lips, as Rama says in the chat room. Remember him today. Hulk Hogan. Man. Now, aside from that, I got to address something that happened this morning. And Let me rephrase that. Nothing happened this morning. Brian and company were talking this morning about the interview that I did with Greg Bugbee, who was a guest on Brian and Company. Because of Brian speaking to Greg Bugbee, I was inspired to call him to get on the show. And the reason why I was inspired is because I was listening to Brian and Company during that interview, and I could hear Brian's frustration in the conversation. Here's why. And Brian, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm almost positive I'm right on this. Brian only had a limited time, which, by the way, he did make. He did say that today. He had a limited amount of time, and at the beginning of the interview, Greg Bugbee went on and on and on, not really giving an opportunity to go back and forth with Brian. Brian, trying not to be rude and interrupting him, wanted him to get all of his things out. In fact, he did kind of interject, says, listen, we only got like 5 minutes left and I want to get some more questions in. So Brian didn't really get to ask a lot in that limited amount of time. That was the inspiration for getting Greg Bugbee on my program, because I knew that Brian wasn't really getting what he wanted out of him, and it was important. So, Brian, to answer your question, it was teamwork. If you had doubts on that, no, it was. You were trying to get information out to people who on your show who have been asking about D-Quad and Hydrilla. I kind of felt like that was shorted because of, one, your the time allotment in the way your show is structured, and I wanted to get people the information. I know people who listen to your show listen to this show. So all I wanted to do was the piggyback. So if anybody had any doubts about what my purpose was, it wasn't because Brian didn't do his job. It's because he didn't have enough time to do the stuff that he wanted to do. And I heard the frustration. I'm listening to the audio two or three times, and I can almost hear Brian sigh because I know he's got stuff. As a broadcaster, I know the signs. So I'm hearing that, and I'm going, yeah, Brian clearly wanted more time with this guy. I know he wished he had. So as a teammate, as a member of the WTIC audience, hey, let's get our audience the information they want and ask the pertinent questions and a little bit of pushback from what Greg Bugbee and, again, the officials who are supposed to be the experts who are trying to tell everybody else that everything else in the world is misinformation. I wanted to challenge that when I knew Brian couldn't. So, and he was also correct in saying that I had been on this for weeks. That is beyond a shadow of a doubt. As I said to Mary yesterday, who called in, I know more about this subject than I do my wife's favorite flower, because I've done the research. And it's more than just a Google search or any of that stuff. By the way, anybody could have done that. So anyone who doesn't know anything about this obviously isn't taking the time. But you all know that I didn't just do Google search or ChatGPT or any of that stuff. I did further than that. I actually talked to experts. I've actually reached out to people in other states, other jurisdictions who have had problems with this. So when I say I'm well versed, you can say I got a 2-week college course on Hydrilla, its removal, DQAT, its ban in the UK. Hell, I got Webby on a flight coming home from the UK with verified documents as to why the UK banned it. Did you know that? No, I'm not. A lot of people don't. When he gets home, he and I are coordinating a very comprehensive background on DQAT. But let me explain this to anybody who had any sort of like misunderstanding about what was going on. Here's why Greg Bugbee was on the program yesterday. For you. It's always about you. If you're not getting the information, if you're not getting the pushback, that's my job. So everybody understands this, and I went through this before. My interview style is not like everybody else's, where you just sit around and you listen to a person rattle off this point, that point, this point, that point. I interject because somebody is going to go inside that thing, inside their little talking points, and inject something that's patently false. And when I hear it, I stop them. No, no, no. Don't go on. And they'll go, can I finish? Can I finish? No. The objective is to filibuster so they're not questioned. If you ever ask yourself, why is it that these guys always allow them to just go blather on and on and on and never challenge them on it? Because by the time you get a word in edgewise, they've already moved on from the point that you have a problem with. Or you are contesting. So that's why I cut people off. And their unique style, if it were a style, is to come on and just blather on. They think an interview is, hey, I'm going to come on your show and I'm going to tell you what I want your people to know. They don't think they're going to be challenged. They're not under the impression. Ask yourself, why is it none of them come on the program? The people who know they're going to be challenged on their nonsense. That's why, because they know that they're not going to get an opportunity to run an infomercial on my show. So while other people are sitting up here saying, well, Reese, you don't let them talk, because talking isn't answering. Talking is talking. These people are on the show to answer to you. That's what they're here for. So everybody who listens, I don't care who you are, where you are, where you're from, to be a guest on this show, and again, don't need you. To be a guest on this show, you are coming here because you want to be asked the tough questions, because you want to clear the air, because you want to be accountable. Otherwise, it'll just be me for 4 or 5 hours. That's the point. Now, let's get this straight. Folks, I owe you an apology. I owe you the biggest apology ever, because I didn't see it earlier. I have been going on and on for 2 weeks asking myself, why do they keep wanting to put DeQuat in the water? Why are they so ardently? Why is the news media assisting them? Why are these people, you know, putting out press release 18 hours before they're about to have an event to keep people at bay? What is the $5 million for? And folks, today I can report to you, I figured it out. I figured it out. And I have the information in my hands. This is a money game. It's as simple as that. It's Occam's razor, the simplest answer. All of it is money, and I have the evidence of it right here. Richard Blumenthal got $5 million funding to spray DeQuat in the water. And I forgot to ask one simple question. How much does it cost to spray DeQuat in a couple of places in the Connecticut River? Just literally, I'm going over this stuff and I'm looking at this story, that story, and I just went, why didn't I ever ask that? So I did. I started asking questions to myself. Why didn't you ask that? They do want $5 million, don't they? I wonder if there's any information that tells how this $5 million is going to be doled out. So I did. I searched. And I searched and I searched and I searched today. Folks, let me start by saying this. Herbicide application. How much does it cost? Treating hydrilla with DeQuat and other herbicides, e.g. Edothol, this other benzoyl stuff, across the targeted 5 sites in 2024 and 12 sites in 2025 is a small portion of the budget that estimated at $1,329 per acre. Again, the 5 sites of 2024 and the 12 sites of 2025 will cost an estimated $1,329 per acre. They are going to be treating 50 acres. That cost comes to $66,450, or 100 acres at $132,884. The actual treated area is likely smaller as treatments are localized, keeping the cost at approximately $100,000. Now, of course, you are asking yourself, then why would they need $5 million? Well, let's go all the way to the end. And when we come back, we'll break down everything. The annual cost is $1 to $2 million for 50 to 100 acres. This includes the chemicals at 100,000. Permits at 6,000. $90,000. Research, $500,000 to $1 million. An administrative cost of $250,000 to $600,000. When we come back, I'm going to break down the other costs that are going to shock the hell out of you. Because what we learned in this little document that I drug up is that the poisoning is purposeful. The DQAT is something they can't let go of. And I'll break down why that is in a bit. Now, I want you to think to yourself. I want everybody here to put their thinking caps on. Ask yourself, did. There are other ways to get rid of this. We've done the research. We've talked about it. Why are they so adamant about the use of DQAT? I just read you a little bit. When we get back, we're going to go into the weeds. It's ugly. It's underhanded. It's dirty. And now that we know, we have our motive. And we have our motivation. This has got to be stopped. This is a fleecing of taxpayer dollars. We'll also explain who gets that money. It's crazy. But again, like I said, I apologize because I should have seen it. I should have seen it from the get-go. This unmitigated gall by these folks. Why were they so adamant? Doesn't make sense. We had Candlewood Lake. We had that as our template. Why were they got those, they only had 1200 signatures and they got that stopped at Candlewood Lake. Why was every bit of this protest being called misinformation, disinformation, or we've used it everywhere before without protest? It was nonsense. It was all a lie. But seems to me, for some odd reason, everybody got up in arms fighting for this. Blumenthal ain't in town for nothing. But he was in town for this. And that's because $5 million were at stake. But it's far worse than that, folks. It's not just $5 million. It's far more. I promise you. We're going to get into all of that, so go nowhere. Tell your friends. You don't want to miss this. It's Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Happy birthday to us. 100 years of serving Connecticut.
It's Reese on the Radio. I should have just played it. We're back on News Talk 1080 WTIC. A lot of people sending their farewells and prayers to the family of Hulk Hogan, so that's nice to see. I really appreciate you guys doing that. Rama is in the chat room. He said, the Hulkster, Malcolm Jamal Warner, Chuck Mangione, The Late Show. Who's next? That's wrong. You're wrong. Anyway, so if you're just joining us, I know some people get in late. You can't be here exactly at 2 o'clock. Again, I start this off by apologizing. One, I should have figured this out. It's like every other stupid Hollywood movie. I mean, I'm a big fan of Lethal Weapon, you know, all of the, you know, crime dramas. It always comes down to the money. At the end of the day, it's always down to the money. And I'm thinking to myself, none of this stuff makes sense. So I start asking, how do you dole out $5 million? Where's it going? Has anybody put together a sort of breakdown of these finances? And the first place I look, crazy enough, DQAT, first question. How much is DQAT when you buy it? Like if you're buying DQAT as a company or whatever and you're using it, how much does it cost you? Do you know that a gallon of DQAT costs more than a barrel of oil? I mean, a gallon of a gallon of gas. $100 a gallon. That's more than a barrel of oil, actually. Yeah. $100 a gallon. And in my head, I'm going, yeah, but nobody's just pouring a gallon into it. They've got to do like a concentrated, diluted amount. No, otherwise it's toxic. So I start looking into that. And sure enough, they did. The treating of hydrilla and other herbicides, with all of the rest of them that join in with it. 5 sites in 2024, 12 sites in 2025, a small portion of the budget, estimated at about $1,300 an acre. Treating 50 acres would be $66,000. 100 acres, $132,000. They said the actual treated area is likely smaller as treatments are localized, keeping the cost under $100,000 annually. Because, of course, they want to do this multiple years in a row. That's one. Now, remember the big argument that I had with everybody on this? The Army Corps of Engineers said that they are going to continue to test the water thereafter. And I said, wait a minute. That flies in the face of safe and effective. What do you need to test the water for? Everybody's using it. Why would you go back and check? Obviously, your calculations are flawed if it's safe and effective and you have to test. And that became the crux of this research. From that $100,000, we get to permitting and compliance. Permits for 12 sites cost $6,000. That's about $500 per site. Compliance with NEPA and the Coastal Zone Management Act, including environmental assessments and public notices, that could add up to $50,000 to $100,000 annually. The environmental monitoring. 3-year monitoring of the water quality and ecological impacts at the 12 sites. Well, that costs $90,000 a year. That's $7,500 per site. For over 3 years, that is $270,000. For 3 years. Interesting. Now, research and demonstration. Testing multiple herbicides and control methods in collaborations with Connecticut Agricultural Experimental Station, that's CAES, and universities involves significant research cost. That's estimated at $500,000 to $1 million a year for personnel, equipment, and data analysis. Try this on for size. Public engagement and administration. Public meetings, online resources, and project management, e.g., on United Corps, Army Corps of Engineers staff coordinations with DEEP, that cost $250,000 to $600,000 annually. Contingency and scalability. The budget includes funds for potential expansion. Hydrilla affects 6 lakes beyond the river. And unexpected costs, such as extended public comment periods and additional research. Those annual costs, $1 to $2 million. That's for 50 to 100 acres, including chemicals. That was the $100,000 we got for the whole thing. So why is this price so high? We asked. Here's the breakdown. The project spans several years, with $6 million in 2023 and $5 million in 2024, indicating a sustained effort. Now, folks, listen. This becomes an ongoing boondoggle. Because once you put the DEQUOT in the water, you have all of these people collecting hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, because they created the problem they now have to research. It keeps the water flowing. They're going to be paid in perpetuity. That's the whole deal. You can go back to the federal government and say, hey, we put the DQOD in. Now we need to test it. We need the funding. If we don't, there could be calamity. We need to make sure that it's not affecting anyone in the town. Now imagine they had taken our advice and used the eco harvesters. Imagine they had actually responded to Jeffrey Cordisco over at C&D, underwater maintenance. Imagine if they had contacted him and they had brought him down. All of these other people would be unnecessary. There'd be no colleges, no labs, no agricultural studies. All the science. Folks, they need the poison the water so they can have a problem worth researching. And every year, they've got a reason to ask the government for money. That's right. It's all here. This is their document, not mine. I didn't dream this up. This comes from them. They always intended to use DQOD. Because if you think about it, one person, that's all you need, one person gets affected by it. Hey, you think we could get another $6 million? We got a couple of people who are sick. We may need to test the water again. No, this time make it $9 million. Really? You don't think so? Come on, folks. We've been through this before. We've seen this before. Again, their own report says in 2023, $6 million and 2025, $5 million. For studies they are going to be paid for three. Now think about this. You got a breakdown of the $5 million for 2025. They tell you that the research that they're being paid for is 3 years worth of it. What am I going to need a budget the next year for? In 2023, they did no spraying of significance, and they damn sure didn't spray inside the Connecticut River. We wouldn't be here if they had. And if they did spray in the Connecticut River, they only sprayed in a couple of spots. It wouldn't have been at the tune of $5-6 million, right? Of course not. So why is it we have two separate years where $6 million in 2023 and $5 million for 2024? Why? The objective is to continue to get another $5-6 million, hell, $20 million sometime in the future. Who knows? Probably because there'll be raises. Probably there'll be other problems that somebody needs to clear up. It was always the simplest of answers. Money. Nobody, I mean, one of the things that I found crazy, Mark was saying it, he was screaming it in my face for crying out loud. He kept asking, why is that environmentalist on the news trying to endorse the use of herbicides when she is an environmentalist? It didn't make sense. And there she was saying, we normally wouldn't agree to herbicides, but this has to be done. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm old enough to remember when the environmentalist said hell no to using chemicals where you didn't need to. They were like the biggest, the most ardent opposition to chemical use anywhere. But yet here's an environmentalist who's screaming to the rafters with politicians saying, yes, use DQOD. Environmentalists need the slimmest of evidence, circumstantial at best, to argue against using chemicals. The slimmest. Hell, Al Gore's made a cottage industry of this. The slightest thing, we get a snowstorm, climate change. We get a rainstorm, climate change. We just had a 4th of July river take out over 130 people? Climate change. Everything is ecological. But these people in Connecticut? Nah, go ahead and spray. Nobody is looking that and going, well, that runs counter to what they usually stand for. Because at the end of the day, it's always about the dollar, the almighty dollar. That's why we got to put an end to it. Not because I'm knocking anybody's hustle. But if it's just a poison, folks, so you can get a check, hell no. Hell no. And I got to say, Representative Muir, boy, did you folks kick a hornet's nest on this one. We'll be back. More news, more views at Trace on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Listen to WTIC News Talk 1080 on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC today for alerts on special programming.
We got a lot of stuff to get into today. For this thing I read today, sort of dovetails into this thing in Connecticut. There's a beef going on in, I think it's Glastonbury, yeah, that sort of dovetails into this. And it's very, very interesting how two-faced the state of Connecticut is when it comes to poison. Which, you know, as soon as I saw it, it's always weird. I almost feel like there are no coincidences. I'm doing all this research on here, and I go and I see this story in the Hartford Current, and I go, what? And it's crazy. And then I do the research on that, and sure enough, yeah, as usual, never making sense, and it doesn't. Also, we've got other news about gender-affirming care on children. You might remember a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago, I did a news item when we were doing headlines about how senators like and Blumenthal, even Lamont, were trying to protect five Connecticut clinics and or hospitals that were giving gender-affirming care to children. And now all of a sudden, one hospital or one clinic is now deciding not to do that anymore. Or at least they're no longer giving that care to anyone under the age of 19. Which is an interesting story. So we're looking into that as well. Nick says, believe it or not, I've heard sometimes that they don't want to physically remove hydrilla because the soil under the water is contaminated. And if they disturb that, it will contaminate the water. Well, it turns out that that's true. It is 100% true. Is he really on the phone? Well, okay, folks, stand by. Let me see. I got him for at least 5 minutes, right? Yeah, let's. Okay, 4 minutes. On the line with us right now is none other than Greg Bugbee, who we had a conversation with yesterday. Mr. Bugbee, thank you for calling us back.
Oh, I'm happy to do that. I just wanted to talk to you. We discussed yesterday about the potential of getting a harvesting trial going to complement the herbicide work. And I
yes.
talked to the Corps yesterday, and I think we can work that out. I was, I know you had a contact, and I want to catch up with your contact who does the harvesting, so maybe we can work together to do something.
Okay, so you're telling me that I can get you the telephone number of Jeffrey Cordisco, and you guys are going to call him, and you guys are going to do the eco-harvesting so that we can see exactly how much they can remove and how effective it is.
That's correct. That's what we like to do, yes.
Mr. Bugbee, you have no idea you made my day today. You made it yesterday as well. No, listen to me. I think I said this, you know, I was talking off the air to a friend of mine. I know in my heart, and I even said it to you on the air, I didn't want to, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus or anything. You seem like an honest broker here coming on the program and answering these questions and trying to get to the bottom of it. But as a scientist, I know you understand why people are concerned. After our talk, I think you understand it more. So what I'm going to do.
Without a doubt.
And I appreciate you for that. You have no idea. Right now, you have no idea how many people you made happy in knowing that they could affect some sort of change, if not interest, in trying something else. So stay on the line. I'm going to get you Greg's telephone number. Hold on for me real quick. And in fact, are you calling from your cell phone?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Okay. Give me a second. Don't worry about that. I'm going to take care. I won't put it on the air, of course. Let me take care of this and I will make sure that your telephone number goes directly to Jeff Cardisco of C&D. It's called C&D Underwater Maintenance. I have his cell phone number and I will get the both of you connected.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Greg, let me tell you something. Mr. Bugbee, you have no idea. Thank you for honoring your commitment to call back and do this. You have no idea. I'm elated and incredibly surprised. But you know what? I didn't know you not to be surprised. So I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you, sir.
All right. You're more than welcome. And again, anytime you want me on, I'm happy to come on and explain where we're at.
Thank you. I appreciate. Okay, good. It's nice to know we have somebody to contact and talk about this stuff. Thank you, Mr.
Right.
Bugbee. You have
okay,
a wonderful rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Yeah.
All right. What can you say? I mean, what can I say? I don't even know what to say. I mean, what do you say about that? I think he's calling back. I'm not sure if he's calling back or just he butt dialed, but we're going to get, we'll get his telephone number to Jeff Cardisco. I think I have his phone on my phone anyway, but I'm going to contact him right now during the break. Yeah, Jason, no doubt. It's huge. It is huge. Yeah, I don't even know what to say. I'm completely like, it's my job to talk and Bugbee comes in here and completely pulls the rug from under me. But in a good way. I gotta call a bunch of people. Listen, folks. Thank you. That's all I can say. Thank you. This isn't you, this is us. Remember, the people that were called, the uproar, the news media, even if they were on our side or they wasn't, I gotta give it up to WFSB, who never ever called the people who were questioning the use of DQOT. They never called them conspiracy theorists, never shamed them, never besmirched them in any way. WFSB, I got to say, from the bottom of my heart, everything that you reported was on the up and up. You were honest from the beginning. We wouldn't be here without them or with you.